A lot going on around the country. You know, I thought our last story regarding the state of Texas and how the election turned out for them was going to be more of a positive story. But it turns out, you know, after we spoke to the great Texas Representative Brian Harrison, that's not truly the case. As many of you guys know, Texans did vote specifically for U.S. citizens to only be the ones weighing in on our elections. But he brought up a great point. How the heck do you know that someone's a U.S. citizen? We don't check ID here in Texas. And that's something that, like, even myself didn't even know. I don't get how you don't ask for ID. It's something that both sides can agree on, except those who are trying to steal the election. So that was great to talk to him and get that. Also, Harrison was putting Governor Greg Abbott's feet to the fire. And if you missed down that interview, we'll put it up later as well over at band.video. But again, calling out the governor for, you know, sitting there putting out really cute tweets, but having very little action behind those tweets. So I think that's really, really important. But we're getting ready to talk more about New York City flipping red, but it's the wrong kind of red. It's communist red. The reality of it is, I've been preparing you for this for months now. I have specifically. I've been telling you all that Zoe Rand Mahdani was going to win this election. But most importantly, this was something that was plotted for a very, very long time. Gavin McInnes is going to be joining us in just a moment after the break. But I wanted to make sure we highlighted just that. Because again, folks, we keep talking about it, but it's so infuriating because there was a plot, and it's been going on since 2014, to get that man in this position before he was even a U.S. citizen. And if you're wondering, Brianna, how do you know that? We have the tapes. We'll play it for you in a little bit. But the reality of it is Islam is going to take over if we do not push back. If those who are too afraid to be called a really mean name don't push back, well, guess what's going to happen? We're all going to be on the losing side of this. So get over the fact that they're going to call you a name like Islamophobic. Yeah, you should be afraid. You should be afraid. Get over that. I know yesterday on X, people were sounding off because they weren't happy. I actually had to put my phone down for a couple minutes because I thought I was really going to go on a rant. So I wanted to save all that energy for today's show. So we will do just that in just a few moments. But a lot else happening. Mel Kay also joining the show as well because she was the one that was doing the document diving last week into the Biden auto pen report that dropped last week on the 28th. And she found something very interesting. We talked about it briefly yesterday, but Steven Spielberg's name pops up on the list as people who were involved potentially in auto pen and the theatrics that you saw at the State of the Union. Apparently, according to the report, Steven Spielberg actually coached Joe Biden before he gave his State of the Union speech. Why would Joe Biden, someone who spent his entire life in politics, need a coach if he was A-okay and ready to serve this country? Well, folks, he wasn't. The cover-up was extensive, and even Steven Spielberg was involved in that, in my opinion. And so, of course, this is what we're dealing with now. Mel Kay is going to be joining us in the second part of the hour to sound off about that as well. So a lot happening on those fronts, folks. It's just so infuriating because, again, time and time again, there's not much happening. There's not much happening. We also had Steve Baker on the show, and we're going to have him on the show probably later this week, I'm thinking, because he's working on another bombshell report. But the reality of it is those within the Trump administration, those people who were friends of ours prior, they're not happy that we're calling them out. Steve Baker's doing an incredible job at that, too. So if you missed that interview, you're definitely going to want to hop over to band.video later to check that out, too, because, you know, Steve and I, we get phone calls when people don't like our coverage. Now, obviously, the phone calls don't scare me. I, you know, made a career off of not having access into the White House and other places. But Steve is fighting the good fight. And so that's one very important interview that you want to listen to, of course. Folks, if you haven't done so already, I just wanted to remind you all that over at the alexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible sale going on right now. It's a 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. It's going on right now. It's 25% off site wide. So we're kicking off those sales early, of course. You know, we launched Methylene Red recently, just last week, and that is 25% off now. And we just got in those Alex Jones signature blades. Now, those are going to sell out fast because they make for a great Christmas gift, a great stocking stuffer as well for your fellow patriots. So you want to go over there now and make sure you grab that before we sell out, of course. And just to remind all of you at home, VIP membership is only $30 a month, and it gets you $40 in store credit each month. And it's the number one way to keep us on air and help fund our next operation. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you buy it before we sell out.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills.
Do you like? Oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna. You're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here, in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal Workside that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country, and it really was a gloomy election day for most of us, especially if you are a former New Yorker like myself. Well, you didn't like what you saw in New York City. I knew it was going to happen, but you didn't want to see it. Supposedly, over a million people thought that electing a jihadist communist to run New York City was a good idea. And we had to sit back yesterday and watch that as it all unraveled. I actually had to put my phone aside yesterday because I was very angry, very angry. It's not just the voters that are really ticking me off these days. It's the fact that New York doesn't really have a Republican Party to push back and to actually reach out to young voters who are feeling like they have nothing else to turn to besides communism. Besides communism. Now, most of them don't even know what they just elected. Sadly, they will find out the hard way, but they probably will flee before it gets really, really bad. But folks, yesterday we sat back and we listened to Zohra Mamdani's speech, and in clip 17, it gave you just commie vibes all over the place. Take a listen.
After all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from the perfect candidate. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
Now, of course, folks, that is going to be very interesting to see unravel for my former home. Joining me to discuss is Gavin McGinnis. He's the host of Get Off My Lawn over at censor.tv. And he is with us now to react. Gavin, I know you were one of the very few people who was calling this out early on in the game. You saw this coming. I saw this coming. Your reaction so far to what we saw last night take place in New York City?
It couldn't be worse. And he couldn't be a worse candidate. I mean, the only question is he retarded or evil? And I think it's both. I mean, the best case scenario is that he's an idiot. The worst case scenario is this is Muslim Brotherhood here to destroy the greatest city on earth. A city, by the way, that lost 3,000 of its members to a Muslim terrorist attack, not 25 years ago. Yet we elect a proud democratic socialist, which means communist, of course. Mm-hmm. And he's just another one of these rich kids where, just like Karl Marx, they get free stuff their whole life and they go, this is cool. Everyone should get this. But what people don't understand about New York is it's a very unique city in that it's a powder keg waiting to go off. So we had like 2,500 homicides a year, seven a day in the early 90s. Giuliani came along and I didn't like it at first. I moved here in the late 90s. He started arresting people for jumping turnstiles and having stop and frisk and all these things that seemed excessive. It seemed like a police state. And all of a sudden, we went down from seven murders a day to less than one, where we are now. And that was all Giuliani's discipline. You need to be tough with New Yorkers because they're brats. We've got like 50% of New York City, if you add in like refugees and students and old people, are unemployed. it's already overwhelmed with welfare and idle hands are the devil's plaything. So you have these thugs, these kids just waiting to get into trouble. And Ma'am Danny's about to let them.
Yeah. Well, my friends who are members of the NYPD are outraged and they're really upset. I don't think people understand the ramifications of this. He will now have access to the counterterrorism database. And I don't think many people get that. I reached out to DHS for comment on that because I think this is something that our federal government needs to step in on, because the reality is this guy didn't get his citizenship until 2018. But I want to play clip 18 for you, because Steven Crowder, his undercover unit, Butch's Mug Club, they actually met up, and he didn't know he was being recorded, of course, but they met up with an individual who works for the Manzani campaign. He's one of their canvassing directors. And in this clip that I played repeatedly, he says that Zohran Mamdani didn't just randomly pop up, that in fact, he was the plan since 2014. Take a listen.
It's not like this. Oh, this just came out of nowhere. Not at all. This has been a coordinated, organizing effort for, since 2014.
2014, he became a U.S. citizen in 2018. So that tells you everything you need to know, that we imported someone who obviously had very questionable motives and is heavily funded by people that hate this country. Gavin, your reaction, because I know a lot of people don't understand it, don't see that this is a takeover, not just a communist takeover, but Islam is looking to conquer the West. And very few people understand that what we saw play out in London is now happening here in New York City right before our eyes.
Islam is incompatible with the West. It is the only culture that refuses to accommodate, assimilate. It refuses to bend. Muslims don't see America as America. They see it as conquered land that should be under Sharia law. That is their goal. And they're only 1% of the American population right now. But as we saw in Britain, where they're only probably 5%, they take over towns first. They take over Luton and Birmingham. They're going to take over Minnesota, and they're going to take over New York City the same way Sadiq Khan took over London. And I was saying this to Alex yesterday, we're about to have a Muslim problem for the first time ever. We are about to experience what it's like to deal with a culture that wants us to convert or die. And one of the scariest things is Alex Soros getting in bed literally with Uma Abedin and giving her control of his $24 billion open society. We're going to see a big shift towards jihad and Sharia and communism, which makes strange bedfellows, as we saw with the Iranian Revolution. When communists and Islamists get together, they don't get along and everyone suffers. So we are going back to Dinkins, New York, with 2,500 homicides a year. And you got to understand, too, you're talking about the NYPD. They were already bare bones. You had guys at the 4-5 here in the Bronx doing 30-hour shifts. So they're already taxed to death, literally and figuratively. To reduce them more is going to be absolute chaos.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see the numbers. I mean, not excited for it, but the numbers in regards to how many of those NYPD officers and sergeants are going to apply for retirement just to get out of there before Madani is sworn in, because I'm sure that number is going to skyrocket. I know a lot of my friends telling me what their deadline is now, and they're going to be taking up that retirement now. Some even losing out on benefits, but they don't want any part in this, and it's sad to see. But again, this is what's going on in New York City, and it's going to be a really, really bad day for them when this takes place. And for all people at home who maybe think that it's a little much when we sit here and say that they don't want anything to do with us, when in reference to Muslims itself and Islam, I want to just remind everyone that there's over 100 verses in the Quran which go after and would call for acts of violence against those non-believers. So it's not like any other religion that we've seen thus far. And that's why you've seen them involved in so many genocides regarding Hindus, regarding Christians and Jews. So again, time and time again, we have a common enemy, and they even attack their own if they're not that radical or not radical enough for them. So we're not talking about people we have common ground with. They literally hate everyone that's not as radical as them. And again, it's not overstating. It's not fear-mongering. You just have to open up the Quran for yourself, which I normally wouldn't recommend. But read it if you don't know these verses. There's many lists online that will tell you exactly where to go, especially, and this is a part that really gets me, Gavin. I'll let you talk about this too. When you're looking at the numbers, I believe 80% of the voters for Zohran Mamdani, I think someone said, were female voters. Now, if you open up the Quran and read it, for those of you women at home who are not believers, in Islam, it calls for some really heinous crimes against you, like potentially becoming their sex slaves. And it's well written in the Quran. We obviously know their prophet was a predator for a 9-year-old girl who he alleged was his wife. Again, this is not something that any women should be associated with. But, you know, Gavin, I sit back and I shake my head because so many women are so poorly researched on this issue. And they think they could get behind a candidate like this when he actually, in fact, is reading something and believes something that says that, yeah, if you're not a believer, that you could possibly be his sex slave.
It's insane. Have you heard of these Desis? It's a group called Drum, Desi's Rising Up and Moving, and they got him like 150,000 votes. These are mostly Hindus. Muslims murdered millions of Hindus when the formation of Pakistan. As the Hindus went south, they were stopped on trains by Muslims and mass slaughtered, beheaded. Yet these Indians, just like Queers for Palestine, can't wait to vote for him because he's brown. Or I saw that there was all these like signs for Zoran, and I'm looking, they all have turbans on. If you're wearing a turban, you're a Sikh. Muslims killed a million Sikhs. They were literally at war with Islam, yet they're proudly voting for their own demise, and it's just based on spite. And we're sitting here talking about how dangerous Islam can be, but that is only one factor with this guy. Like, he literally could not be worse. So he's an Islamist. That's bad. We saw that on 9/11. He's a spoiled brat that's never had a job. That's bad. We don't want spoiled rich kids running the greatest city in the world, the biggest city in America, the richest city in North America. He's also a communist in a city that's already broke. He's also anti-cop in a city that is predicated on crime. Without tough law and order, this whole city falls apart. And he's talking about, we're going to send social workers. We tried that in L.A. And guess what happened? Within hours, the cops that had been laid off were then rehired by the social workers, because it's basically nothing more dangerous than an EDP, emotionally disturbed person, call. So I'm listing like 5 reasons why this guy is terrible. And we could do this whole show on one of them, Islam. But they're all equally dangerous. And it's, you know what it is now? Politics has just become spite. Like the whole, there was local politics here in my, where I live up in Westchester, that was all blue. The conservatives got slaughtered in New Jersey, all over the country. And what is it based on? Hatred of Trump. And what is hatred of Trump based on? Just discipline. He's here, tough love. Daddy said it's bedtime and you have to eat your vegetables. And they all hate him for that because strong men have created good times, and these good time weak people just can't wait to bitch and moan at Trump. So we are all suffering because of these bitter bitches who are just spiteful because daddy has started, you know, enforcing a little bit of discipline. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it is embarrassing. And you brought up the LGB point too to this. I want to remind our audience, yesterday we actually uncovered in that alleged ISIS plot that took place in Dearborn, Michigan. I got to page 40 where I found out when they were trying to vet potential places to allegedly take out this terrorist attack, that you just have to go to page 40 and you could simply read that they were actually using and they were looking at many places that the LGBTQ community goes to for bars and clubs. And so obviously this was one of their targets, it looks like, according to this document here you see on your screen. Again, that's the criminal report that came out from the DOJ on page 40. You could read it yourself. But again, these people don't like the rainbow community. And for some reason, they just don't seem to learn that. And there was also the video, too, in Steven Crowder's reporting, which has this individual who's the director of his campaign saying, yeah, we're sending lesbians into mosques. And it's so strange, but we're doing it. These people have no idea what they're getting themselves into and sadly might actually learn the hard way. But Gavin,
we already went through this. Remember the Pulse nightclub?
Yeah.
How many people died there? Was it like 80? And the takeaway was that a straight man shot up a gay nightclub, and within they got amnesia within a week, and it was back to MAGA wants to kill us. But even with the whole October 7th thing, they go, oh, these Nazis, these MAGA Nazis, who was on the streets calling for the river to the sea, saying we need to globalize the Intifada? It was blacks, it was refugees, it was white rich kids, Marxist students, everyone but MAGA. Yet no Kings is out there calling us Nazis. Like, these people are their own worst enemy. Queers for Palestine should be the name of this segment, because that is exactly what they're all about. They're chickens for KFC. And, you know, these people are safest under my rule, under a patriarchy, because under, if they get their own way, if they get their communist Islamist utopia, they're the first to go. Yeah. You and I will be fine. We're armed. They're going to be toast.
Yeah. Yeah, they have no idea. They literally have no idea. And Gavin, I guess we get into the politics side of all of this, because in New York, I actually was thinking about running for the state Senate. I did so briefly by just going around and meeting with a lot of the GOP chair men at the county level and at the town level. And I was quite disturbed, because I just feel like they were so out of touch with what young voters, and I don't even mean young voters. I mean, I'm talking like people in their 30s, what they're looking for. And sadly, they just didn't get it. It's like they were a group of fossils. You know, we have people who only thought that they could vote for Zohran Mamdani because he was talking about reducing the cost of rent. Now, although his method for it is a scam itself, but he's really the only one out there talking about this. When it comes to the Republican Party in New York, are they really doing any type of outreach to try to reach out to people and answer these questions? Because the cost of living in New York is just through the roof.
Well, you've heard of a brain drain. We have a right wing drain here in New York, not just New York City, but a lot of New York State. They're all going to California. They're all going to Florida. And as you get less and less sane people, you have more and more lunatics, until the lunatics are running the asylum. And that's where we're at right now. Mamdani's only going to accrue more power. AOC could be our next president. She's one of the dumbest people in the history of politics, as inexperienced and socialist as Mamdani is. But as everyone gives up on states like this, the losers get more and more power. So we don't have a Republican base in New York. That's why we're doing things like voting for Cuomo. Can you believe that? Or right now, all my eggs are in Hochul's basket. I'm hoping that she has the sense to prevent him from instituting all these dumb things like $700 million in free buses and $60 million for free grocery stores and the whole notion of cheaper rent, which is just a made-up thing. He promised them the moon. He can't deliver on any of this. So all we're doing is hoping that Hochul, the great conservative hope for New York, tells him that none of this is plausible. That's where we're at. We're relying on Democrats to save us from Democrats.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting times. Well, first off, she actually said that she wasn't going to allow him to raise taxes because she just doesn't want people to flee anymore. And even Chuck Schumer was like, "Hey, I'm not getting behind this guy and endorsing him publicly. That's all you guys." So, you know, it's really, really bad in New York when those who we've deemed as radical aren't radical enough for those they've imported into their party, Gavin. So it's quite interesting to sit back and watch. I want to thank you, Gavin, for joining us today. Again, folks, he's the host of Get Off My Lawn over at Center.tv. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And welcome back to Twitter, by the way. I saw that you've recently, a couple of weeks ago, popped back up, and we're excited to have you back.
7-year gulag. That's got to be a world record. 7 years I was banned.
Isn't it crazy? And by the way, before you go, I guess I could ask you this. What's going on with that? Are you finding that your shadow ban, not even brought back on, or do you think that you're getting accurate numbers these days?
I can't tell. I think I'm shadow banned. I don't get a lot of engagement. And the numbers, I get like a new follower every 3 days. So that seems suspicious when you have a 250,000 followers.
Yeah.
But, you know, beggars can't be choosers in this world. We vote for Cuomo. We beg Democrats for help. And we thank X for at least shadow banning us. At least we're here.
Yeah, exactly. That's not as bad as what's happened before. So, yeah. You got a point. You got a point. Gavin, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, I wanted to also point you in this direction, too. Clip 19, we're going to play for you. CNN's triggered when Byron Donnell simply brings up the fact that Zohran Mamdani is a communist. Don't you dare say communist on CNN, because they will defend their fellow communists. Take a listen.
When you put in communist and, yes, communist policies, that's what Zohran Mamdani is talking about.
He's not a communist.
It never works.
Socialist. He says he's a Democratic socialist.
I can't tell what the difference is.
Well, he can
explain what the difference is.
He can describe the differences for you. The socialism is not the same basis of communism in this country. You know that quite well.
The man wants to create government-run grocery stores. He wants free transportation, both of which are impossible to do. Because how
you
is
know that communism is a trigger word to try to undermine all of his policies. He's not a. He says he's a Democratic socialist.
I don't need to undermine his policies. His policies undermine himself.
Well,
because they've never
that.
Worked. Here's all I want him to do. Tell me where they've ever worked. They've never worked. He knows that. I knows that. But what he's trying to do is promise everybody something that they can't have. And the truth is, there is no free lunch, just like there's no free bus. Because you know what happens when you have a free bus? There's nobody there to fix it or to drive it. He knows that. I know that. You know that. America does know it. And it's unfortunate that the city of New York, my former home city, is probably going to have to go through this.
Yeah, we all know that. We all know that that's going to be a major, major issue, of course. But again, CNN becomes unhinged. The trigger word for them. When you say the word communist, now you need to say the word communist because Democrats play these word games all of the time and they get away with it. Why do we allow them to get away with it when they could sit here and manipulate the words we get to use to help spin their narrative on things? They always love to lighten the blow, but the reality is he is in fact a communist, and that's why you couldn't hear that CNN anchor give a rebuttal as to what is the difference, because there is no difference between socialism and communism. It's just the way to disguise your political beliefs, and that is exactly what's happening in New York. And from the very beginning, we should have been screaming that he was a communist, and sadly, people waited to the very end to do just that. But Zoe Ramadani is also, and we're going to move on after this one, but Zoe Ramadani is also calling out Elon Musk in clip 22. He's actually going after Musk and issuing him this threat.
And the real risk you have in the U.S. isn't multiculturalism. It's a multi-billionaire running the biggest social media planet, one of the biggest in the world, which has turned into an echo chamber of your ridiculous ideology. And the fact that you're telling us all and telling the British public, who we're proudly multicultural, as someone that was brought up in multicultural working class Birmingham, I can tell you for sure that there's not you won't find a Muslim there who's read the Quran and went, oh, you know what, I didn't rule out sexual violence, so I might just crack on with that. I don't know what planet you're living on or what you're smoking, but I'd suggest that you do a course in religious studies before you start chatting.
Well, thank you for the ad hominem attacks. I'm sure that means you have a really strong argument. But I think the young working class girls who probably grew up in the same areas that you did would beg to differ. I don't understand what you're saying. I've read the Quran. I've seen what's in there. Even if you don't think that my interpretation of the Quran is correct, I would point you to, I don't know, what countries have the most issues when it comes to child brides and raping of young girls and children. It's obviously a systemic cultural problem with Islam. It's not a problem that is contained or unique to the West. And I don't know, last time I checked, this whole grooming gang phenomenon is what contained primarily to Muslim men. And it really only started when you started seeing mass migration.
Natalie Winters, the very great Natalie Winters, going out there and I guess you could say doing a drive-by. That guy had no idea what was coming for him as he sits there and preaches the globalist agenda, trying to pretend like there's no threats to women. Yeah, of course there is, and you're an idiot if you feel otherwise. All you got to do is just dig into the Quran yourself. Again, I don't normally encourage this, but just to enlighten yourself, there's over 109 verses which have been interpreted as violent verses to go after non-believers. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Or if you just want to get like the cliff notes, Google it. And all of a sudden it will pop up on your Google search and it will outline the 109 verses that are deemed as violent threats against non-believers. Again, I don't want to make the show all about Islam, but the reality of it is yesterday was a historic day and we need to actually pay attention to what's going on here. And Natalie Winters doing just that. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the app. We never know when they're going to lock that front door over here. So you got to head on over right now, alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. And while you're doing that, of course, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because we are kicking off Black Friday a little early, but because we want to help you get the savings, of course. It's the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. 25% off site-wide. That includes our new Alex Jones signature blades, which are available, of course, right now for a limited time. I'm sure we'll sell out of this quick for Christmas. Of course, everyone's going to want one of these. So head on over to the Alex Jones store and grab yourself some right now. I'll be right back.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing has already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexshowstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexshowstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation. And has the widest selection of t-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. A lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. While supplies last, could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red, about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, thealexshowstore.com. Thank you. We can't do without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's so, a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're wrapping up the third hour of the show. We've got about a couple more segments we're getting to because I've got so much to discuss, but we just saw that Zohran Mahdani is taking questions right now at a press conference. Let's see if he's saying anything of importance. Take a listen.
It's very funny. Everyone is asking two very different questions. I'm trying to strike the right tone between all of them. New Yorkers are facing twin crises in this moment, an authoritarian administration and an affordability crisis. And it'll be my job to deliver on both. It'll be my job to stand up for the city and also to ensure that we do not look at Washington, D.C. as if it is the reason for all of the problems right here in New York City. Many of the issues we are speaking about, they predate President Trump. They are issues that for too long we have turned a blind eye to or we have sought to rationalize or normalize. And what I'm so excited by in looking at these incredible women who will be leading our transition is a track record of being able to handle multiple crises at the same time. Crises which so often for others might be the only focus. For so many of the people on this stage, they were one of many. And these are the crises of cost, these are the crises of conviction, these are the crises that have come to describe much of our politics. And I find immense confidence in the fact that we are already building a team that has shown its ability to deliver and that will continue to show that over the next 57 days and beyond. I cannot tell you that I had many quiet moments between last night and this morning, but some things that I have been left with, whether it was in sitting with my wife or with close members of my team without whom none of this would have been possible, is the sense of hope that New Yorkers have. When I left the venue yesterday evening, there were hundreds of New Yorkers waiting outside. And so many of them were young New Yorkers. So many of them, it may have been their first vote they were ever eligible to cast. And in their eyes and in their shouts and in their screams, I heard the potential for what our politics could be. And it's a potential for New Yorkers to not only be able to see themselves in those that lead them, but more importantly, to see their struggles. And just before this, I heard from an immigrant rights advocate who said that the moment that made her whole in the speech that I shared was when I spoke about this city as being one that was built by immigrants, that's powered by immigrants, and now that will be led by an immigrant.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the city of New York, although it was the mega hub for immigrants to come into this country, the reality of it is they weren't people who hated this country, and Zohran Mamdani is one of those people who hate this country. All you got to do is do some digging into his father's background as well, and you would understand exactly why he was sent here, got his citizenship back in 2018, and the plot was set back in 2014. So, a new era for New York City. Yeah, it's definitely a new era, and it's not a good one. It's not a good one. So we will probably just dip out of that for the time being, because there's only so much I could listen to before I become unhinged. Yesterday, when the results were coming in of the election, I had to put my phone down and walk away because, well, folks, enough is enough. I don't know how much more of this we could all endure. We've been watching this for quite some time, and it is a communist takeover. Not enough people are listening to what we were trying to say. Sadly, they will learn the hard way. And as many of you know, I left New York in 2018. If you're wondering why, it's because I saw the writing on the wall. Andrew Cuomo absolutely destroyed New York through criminal justice reform. And I saw the socialist movement gaining more and more representation in Albany. And all you had to do was put two and two together and realize what was taking place. And it's unraveling in front of our very eyes. It wasn't hard to see. You just had to be paying attention. And many weren't. Many weren't. Speaking of that, I want to dip into something a little different. We're going to go to clip 20 because Nicole Wallace is talking about James Comey, or it looks like she's talking about John Brennan first. Let's take a listen to this one because it apparently is Nicole Wallace being very unhinged. Take a listen.
They're very dishonest people. I think they're crooked as hell. And maybe they have to pay a price for that. I believe they are truly bad people and dishonest people. So whatever happens, happens.
Hi again, everybody. It's now 5 o'clock in New York. Those comments made by Donald Trump about former FBI Director Jim Comey and former Director of the CIA John Brennan land a little differently after the series of political indictments of several of Donald Trump's critics, including that of Jim Comey himself. Months after those comments and a referral by CIA Director John Ratcliffe comes a renewed push from House Republicans to prosecute John Brennan. In a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, Congressman Jim Jordan referred Brennan for prosecution over statements he made to Congress about the use of a now discredited dossier alleging ties between the Russian government and Donald Trump, claiming that Director Brennan lied in testimony about the use of the dossier in assessments about Russian meddling in the 2016 election. On our program back in July, Brennan said that all of these allegations are a retread of ground that has been, quote, fairly well and exhaustively plowed. And he is right. Marco Rubio and special counsel John Durham, who was appointed by Trump's handpicked Attorney General Bill Barr, feel the same way. Durham spent 4 years and $6.5 million and found no criminal wrongdoing on Director Brennan's part.
MSNBC finally admitting that the Steele dossier was fake, but they're saying that that's now been proven to be fake. Did you hear that? Did you catch that, folks? I mean, I remember when I was working at Lou Dobbs' show over at Fox Business, he was screaming from the rooftops about this every day. And what was that? That was 2018-ish. But now, good news. MSNBC is acknowledging just that. They don't think John Brennan should be prosecuted, even though everyone knows that he should be. And it should be for much worse than what that criminal referral suggests. The reality is they don't like the accountability tour because they are taking down their allies. Time and time again, we continue to see MSNBC advocating for the end of this so-called lawfare. Again, they think that they are on the receiving end of retaliation. They are not. This is the accountability tour, and they don't like it. They hate this. They are infuriated that this is happening now, but the reality of it is they've all been in bed, and no pun there for Nicole Wallace, with these deep state operatives. Again, folks, this is really enraging that this continues to go on, and they dismiss it as everything's okay. President Trump is going after his political opponents, people he doesn't like. He's just retaliating against those who went after him. No. You could take Trump out of it. The American people want accountability because we know whoever else is sitting in that seat, they are Republican. This will happen to them as well. This isn't about President Trump. This is about the American people, accountability for the American people. That is what everyone wants. We are demanding accountability. We do not want to see this happen again. We had to live through it for far too long. We got very, very lucky that they were unable to steal the 2024 election, thanks to the overwhelming number of supporters, President Trump. But time and time again, they relapse, and this is what they want to do. So they're trying their very best to pretend like John Brennan is a victim. John Brennan's not a victim. He thought he was going to get away with it, and he is not going to get away with it. And we will force accountability over at the DOJ. Public pressure will force the DOJ to hold these accountable if they choose not to. Well, I think President Trump has it figured out. It would be a great move where, I don't know if you remember, the Missouri AG was taken away from the state of Missouri and shifted over to the FBI as the co-deputy director. If you're wondering why that took place, well, according to my sources, he is expecting to make his way over to the DOJ. We don't know when, but apparently there was a conversation that happened with staffers, and they were made aware that this is likely going to be the move that's going to happen. So if they are going to continue to drag this on and not charge the people at the highest levels of corruption, the backup plan is going to be Andrew Bailey. And you can mark my words, I've been talking about this for weeks now. There's a reason why they shifted him over to the FBI, and you're not hearing from him. Again, at home, if you're wondering, what does that mean, Brianna? If you need someone to read up on all of this, if you need someone who is going to fight these battles, you need them over at the FBI. Now, again, I know I bash quite often those in leadership, specifically DOJ and FBI leadership. But the reality of it is there is active members over at the FBI trying to sabotage Cash Patel and obviously Dan Bongino as well. So you need all the backup you could get. And so bringing Andrew Bailey in was a good move, a good move. Again, that's not me trying to be dismissive over the bad decisions that have been made so far. And the focus with that statement is on the FBI director himself, Cash Patel. I know he's been very outspoken. He's not happy that people are criticizing him for his use of the airplane, obviously, to go see his girlfriend. I know Kyle Serafin's been calling that out. The reality of it is this. He was somebody who was very aggressive on that front. In fact, telling it was Benny Johnson, actually. I remember this now vividly. Benny Johnson, he was going after Christopher Wray for misusing his plane, his jet, and wanted accountability there. That came from Cash Patel himself. I'm not telling you this. It came out of his mouth. He wanted accountability. He wanted to go after him. He was very critical of it. So when we have these criticisms, we're just holding you to your own standards. We're not going out there and gunning for you and trying to get you uprooted and out of the FBI. I supported Cash Patel getting into this position because he wrote a whole book outlining the crimes committed by the government gangsters, deep state operatives. He knew exactly what was going on here. But now we get some new form of Cash Patel in this director role, and I don't know who he is. From everything I've seen on the media for the last 4+ years, he has been out there and he's been very aggressive at calling out all of these deep state operatives. And again, He could do all the investigative work he wants to. The rest of it relies on the DOJ filing those charges. I get it. Getting the grand juries together is the DOJ's responsibility, the U.S. attorneys. I get it. But we need to see more movement. We need to see more movement. The American people did not vote for a mediocre prosecution. We voted to get rid, to purge out the deep state operatives who have been destroying this country for far too long. You see, they thought they had immunity. They don't have immunity. They don't have immunity. Now, maybe it's because a lot of these people are fearful. What will happen to them when the roles reverse? And if there is a Democrat who makes their way back into the White House, will they use the FBI and the DOJ and other agencies to go after them? Well, probably. That's why you have to go all in now. Now is the time to go all in, not waiting around. We're not waiting around. I mean, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of President Donald Trump getting reelected. They knew he was making his way back into the White House. Everyone had an idea of who was getting what in positions. The FBI director himself, Kash Patel, was the one handling all the vetting. So he knew. And he had a plan in place for what he was going to do the day he was sworn in and he started carrying out his duties as a director. So everyone knew what was going to happen. And also, I want to make sure we set this bar very, very high, because the DOJ under the Biden regime had no problem going out there and instantly arresting hundreds of J6 protesters for allegedly for trespassing. I mean, that was it. People weren't even there that day, dragged off. So don't give me the nonsense that we need to be patient. We need to just wait and stand by. We're done with the waiting. And it doesn't help when it's our own attorney general releasing information about what they did to the president of the United States, the cojones they had on them to go after there and to grab his presidency phone, obtain those records, and then go after his personal records as well. When the AG is telling us these stories, and then you don't see any follow-up with it, it's not a good day. Ask yourselves, why, with everything we've seen thus far, why hasn't Jack Smith had his home raided? A 6 a.m. wake-up call by the FBI. Hasn't received any of that. I don't even think we've seen a congressional invitation for him to testify. And I say invitation because it's the lightest thing they could do. They could force him to come in front of Congress, but they haven't done that either. You see, Jack Smith is just the face of all of this. It was everyone behind him who is operating this, and so he's going to be the fallout man. But that's why you got to keep digging here. I'm so fed up with seeing all of these reports. We see more about Arctic Frost constantly. We're seeing more about what they were doing to President Trump. We know what they did to you if you showed up to your J6 rally that was legally allowed. Again, I'll keep echoing this. I was on the phone with someone who was simply there at the rally. He may or may have not gone into the Capitol. Don't know that. But I could tell you this. I could tell you he was someone who the FBI went after. In fact, they planted a device over his utilities pole. His home was the only one that had it. Called me, was like, I don't know what this is. And the FBI has been kind of following me around lately. Every time I feel like I'm going to the supermarket, there's some weird dude following me. They're actually following me right now. This was happening while I was on a call with someone, vetting them. And I'm like, send me some proof. I'll vet it with my guys. And lo and behold, he sends me a picture of the utilities pole with a box that was just recently added to it. And then my FBI guys go, yep, that's ours. So spare me of your fake outrage for those in the administration now, for those GOP lawmakers who want to sit there and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me. Jack Smith was targeting me. I'm Lindsey Graham. You should be outraged for me. Those were the people who were silent when it was happening to innocent Americans who attended a legal rally on January 6th. The pro-lifers who showed up and peacefully protested outside of abortion clinics. They also were targeted. The list goes on and on and on. I'm actually surprised I haven't seen my name land on the list. Probably because I sue the government so much. They probably didn't do anything with clear communications regarding emails or anything that could be caught up with later, because they know that I'm somebody who does go after FOIAs and does sue. But the reality of it is everyone was targeted in all of this. It was laid out by the Obama regime. No one pushed back when they targeted the Associated Press, wanted to know who was talking to the AP. And so the Obama regime went out there and got their phone records. That happened. And these so-called supporters of the First Amendment suddenly got very quiet. Yeah, the people who were targeting me for getting Pentagon credentials because I am not worthy of being in a chair that was once sat in by a corporate media journalist. It wasn't just the Associated Press, it was also Cheryl Atkinson. Her employer sadly didn't defend her. And there was also another individual over at Fox who also had their communications tapped by the Obama regime. Again, who's fighting that battle? Well, only Cheryl Atkinson. The AP, nope. Don't cause a fight. We'd hate for you to burn our access to the administration. What are these so-called journalists when they're too afraid to stand up for their fellow journalists or even their own journalists who work for them? The AP didn't do anything. Fox didn't do anything. Put out a strongly worded letter, maybe. That's the bare minimum. So it's no surprise when you look back and you start to see all this being carried out right now by the former regime, I should say. The Biden regime. And then you're sitting here and you're waiting, wondering where are the consequences for all of this? Well, they got away with it under the Obama regime because those in President Trump's first term did their very best to make sure that nobody was held accountable. And here we are now in his, say, third elected term. Okay, second. He'll beat up on me for that one. But the reality of it is he did win three times. But most importantly, folks, we aren't seeing much in the way of movement on this. And it's very, very disturbing. Again, we're going to keep talking about this. We're not going anywhere. All right, let's talk about what members in the Senate are apparently doing right now. They've just brought forward the Stop Antifa Act, which was introduced by Florida U.S. Senator Ashley Moody, Rick Scott as well from Florida, and Utah's Mike Lee. Now, apparently this would direct the National Joint Terrorism Task Force to investigate Antifa. I don't know why you need this. It's not going to get probably anywhere. As many of you guys know, this doesn't really happen. If you were talking to someone like, you know, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she brought forward legislation to make sure that these people were designated as a terrorist organization, and nothing happened. That happened back in January again this year. It was brought in under President Trump's first term by another Congress member, and she brought it back up, and nothing came of that. Now, the President Trump obviously doing it through an executive order, but the executive orders mean nothing when Democrats come back into office. You need to pass this as a legislation. So again, you're seeing the Senate do something about it, but will this even make it to a floor vote? Likely not. I'm not going to sell you a dream. I know time and time again, people said they do this all the time. They do this all the time. All right, let's turn to happier stories since I've been such a black pill today. Sorry. I'll make sure tomorrow that I come in a little bit happier. Let's talk about this. Tampa police saved a child who was being held at knife point. I want to take a look at clip 12 because this video has since gone viral, but it actually shows the importance of quality law enforcement work when they're actually doing the jobs that they sign up for. Take a listen.
Hey, Sheriff's Office, make yourself known.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay. Sheriff's Office, make yourself known.
Just don't send the kid out.
Send the child out, please.
What was that?
Stay in the child. Bring the child out of the room. Drop the knife and bring the child out of the room.
What was that?
Drop the knife, bring the child out of the room.
What's down the door?
Hands right now.
Let me see your hands. You are gonna get shot.
Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands right now. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Drop the knife. Drop it. Come on, baby. Come on.
That's what happens when you spend a few days over at the range. Good on that officer. Thank God he saved that child's life. And you just have to pray that that child is fully recovered from that horrific incident. But great police work, of course. We want to make sure we highlight just that. I wanted to give you guys some breaking news. We just got an update in regarding that Dearborn, Michigan alleged terror plot. It was an ISIS-inspired terror plot, according to the DOJ. It looks like the federal agencies, the FBI itself, has made two more arrests. Now, yesterday I detailed the report with you also with Ken Silva. There was at least 10 different individuals there. We didn't see their names. We didn't know who these people were. Didn't know if they're FBI informants or not. Well, there's two more people who have been arrested in all of this. I will do some digging on this to see specifically what they're being accused of. Again, two more individuals arrested in all of this. It was not immediately clear whether they were these unnamed co-conspirators that were listed in the document that we brought to you guys yesterday. The NYPD's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Bureau played a role in their capture. That is according to NBC News. Now, on Monday, federal prosecutors announced charges against two of those individuals. Both are 20 years of age and apparently do live in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, as I told you, when you sift through the actual criminal complaint itself, you find that potentially LGBT communities was going to potentially be the target in all of this, that these individuals were apparently looking around at bars and clubs and doing some research on the grounds. On page 40, I found that they were they were very interested in the LGBTQ community and their gatherings, their bars, their clubs. And so don't tell the members of the LGBT community that the Islamists in this country are gunning for them, literally. Folks, a lot we've discussed today, a lot more happening tomorrow, of course. I didn't even get to a lot of our stories. There's so much going on right now in this country, and it's incredible that I have the honor to bring you the very latest on that front. And we're excited to do just that. We're working on an incredible show tomorrow, though. More to expose, you know, as we sit back and we watch what's going on in our country, there's a lot that we have to talk about. A lot of people pretending to be Republicans or conservatives and play hero. We don't do that on this show. We spit the truth to you, and I look forward to doing that again tomorrow. I wanted to remind our audience, though, over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide. So when you head on over to the shop, you're going to get a couple of great items like Methylene Red. We just launched that, obviously, last week. So you're going to want to snag that. You're also going to want to snag Alex Jones's signature blades as well. Now, those are going to sell out really fast. And obviously, we have a limited amount. So when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, make sure you grab these. They are great for Christmas gifts. Great for Christmas gifts. So I'd highly recommend you do just that, of course. And just to remind our audience, too, you know, you're obviously getting these great savings. But when you become a VIP member for only $30 a month, you get $40 in store credit every month, and you're helping us stay on air. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com today and make sure you snag some of these incredible items. All right, it is done for me. It's not even a real sentence. I am out here. Alex Jones is next over at The Alex Jones Show. I'll see you tomorrow.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for AutoShip, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action, thealexjonesstore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at the AlexJonesStore.com.